This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, September 19th, 2012. Friday night, the first performer in the 2012-2013 Starlight Jazz Series in Star Theater at Walton Arts Center will be on stage. Gretchen Parlato will perform at 7 and 9 o'clock. She was just announced as the Female Vocalist of the Year by the Jazz Journalists Association. Our own jazz man, Robert Ginsburg, who's the host of KUAF Shades of Jazz every Friday night at 10, recently talked with Gretchen by telephone. Here are excerpts of their conversation.
Congratulations, by the way, on this month's Jazz Journalist Association Award for the Best Female Vocalist. It's got to be a great and well-deserved honor.
Thank you. It is. It sounds cliche, but it was a surprise. You know, anytime that kind of recognition is given granted, awarded it, it's wonderful, and it was not expected, and it means a lot. You know, those are jazz journalists. You know, that's you guys. That's like what we are dependent on each other for what we do. So that feels good to receive that. Yeah.
You were the first vocalist ever to be admitted to the Thelonious Monk Institute, and I know you forged some really incredible alliances with other musicians attending the institute at the same time. Was that a pivotal moment in your career?
Oh, yeah. It's a two-year program, and they pick, an ensemble, so it could be 5 to 7 musicians, and you are a band, and it's just kind of up to you, up to this group to figure out how to be a band without a leader. You know, there's not one person that's kind of calling the shots, and it really forces you to kind of analyze yourself, and kind of it makes you feel like you're in therapy for 2 years in a good way, in a way that might make people, there's always breakdowns and breakthroughs in that kind of situation where you're really learning about what you want to do in your life, what you want to do with your art, how you communicate with other people, what you want, what you don't want, and then it actually, because of that, the experience of traveling in that group, it made me realize that I had been in Los Angeles my entire life, and I love LA, and it's a wonderful place to be as an artist, but I knew that I needed to come to New York and really know what it would feel like to survive in this city. So after that, the Monk Institute, then I moved out here.
I've spoken to a lot of musicians who are also teachers and performers, and many of them have described that the most difficult thing in their development was to discover their own voice. Now, mm-hmm. I know that you have acknowledged being influenced by singers who sound nothing like you, and I hear your voice as a very unique and instantly recognizable voice. Was it a struggle for you to find it?
That's a great question. I think when I was in that process, there were, bumps in the road. I don't know if I would even call it a struggle, though, because I think I was always just doing what came naturally to me. And as soon as I wasn't, I felt it and I realized it, that wasn't working, But I think I was always just singing in a pretty natural way. Or, like I say, if I was ever to just, be imitating another singer or trying to sound like someone else, I could feel it literally in my voice, or just feel it in my whole being, that it's like, that's not quite working. that's not sitting well. That doesn't sound good. I would like to say that I've had a pretty realistic view, or realistic sense of an ear of what works with my voice and what doesn't. I would hope. I think that's a really huge part of being an artist, is to kind of know, where you shine and what to do and what to not do, so to speak.
Holding back the years, thinking of the fear I've had so long. When somebody hears, listen to the fear.
You have 3 CDs now as a leader, most recently The Lost and Found, which came out last year, which you co-produced with Robert Glasper, and you wrote a lot of the music for that. preceding that in 2009, I think it was, you released In a Dream, and then your self-titled debut, which was in 2005. And additionally, as I looked into your career, I was amazed to see your active presence on no less than 45 CDs as a side person. It's interesting to observe the really, I look at it as this rich gene pool of great artists that you're a part of. And there are notable associations that seem to be ongoing. You mentioned Lionel Luecke, Esperanza Spalding, Aaron Parks, Gregoire Marais, just to name a few. But
can
you describe the impact of your musical associations on you, and maybe from a wider perspective on the direction the music is going?
When I was in Los Angeles, but I have to say especially since I moved to New York, there's just a sense of such a community of musicians who all adore each other. We all respect each other at the highest level, and it really is like a family, and everybody is kind of, you know, intertwined, where they might work in different settings and configurations with each other, and if not work together, they at the very, you know, core of it, we support each other. So there's a sense of community and of support that I've never fallen into anything that's been competitive. It's like that's just not a game that I would play, and I really don't feel that with the people that I know and that I have been in touch with. You can tell when there's people that have played together and known each other their whole life and played together in different kind of groups. It's like you can hear the love and you can hear the humanity, it makes the music much, much deeper and much higher.
Draw material for your recordings from a variety of sources and styles, including pop music and great jazz composers, and I know your love of Brazilian music has certainly influenced your choice of compositions. What do you find compelling in a composition that might trigger your desire to record it or to write something in that style?
Yeah, it might be something on the technical layer. It's a beautiful melody, really cool harmony, you know, just something in the musical aspect of the song that triggers something in me. Or then it might tap into like this other deeper level that I like to think of, which is the emotional one, which is, you know, everything that kind of gives you, that's connected to emotion, connected to feeling, and that maybe there's the lyrical content of the song that is incredible, the story of the song, the whole message of it, or this other higher third level and layers, like the higher spiritual kind of level that is everything that you cannot really define, like getting goosebumps when you hear something. The repertoire that I've built is it could come from any style of music. It's like a good song is a good song at the end of the day.
Mm. You know, I've admired your lyrics. They're very poetic, beautiful lyrics, and it seems like you're writing more and more music lately. Have you always aspired to compose?
I did, and I didn't really think that I could, and I didn't really tap into it until, you know, late 20s and early 30s, really. The lyrics to Wayne Shorter's Juju were the first that I had attempted to write. So it's felt really good to open that up and to be inspired by all different things, you know, in my life, and realize that I can turn it into something that is poetic and artistic. Every experience, it can be the most, you know, heartbreaking ones to the most beautiful ones, and I've written about all of those, and I will continue to. I think that probably will always be my path of just writing about life, you know, life and our existence.
And if it makes me cry, I still love. Even if I don't know why, I still love. Even when things fall apart, I still love. Even if you break my heart,
very soon, September 21st, you'll be performing for the second time at the Walton Arts Center, but this time leading your own group. That's in Star Theater as actually the kickoff event for the 2012-2013 season, and I think you're the perfect person to kick the season off. Do you know who will be performing with you in the group?
I do. That's going to be Taylor Eichste on piano and keyboard. On bass is Bernice Earl Travis, who's playing both acoustic bass and electric bass, and he's incredible. I mean, we've been touring together this last year, and he's kind of stepping it all up, adding the electric bass to the texture of the group, and he sings as well. So we're having a good time exploring different kind of territories with that. And then Mark Juliana on drums. So, and you know, we've all played together. Referring back to the sense of a community, I've always had a lot of really very just incredible high-level musicians. But we're looking forward to it. That specific group is going to be wonderful. We're playing this weekend, actually, in Switzerland. So we will be warmed up for you.
He was a winter wind. She was a summer flower. She
Gretchen Parlato will perform twice Friday night at Walton Arts Center inside Star Theater. The first performance is at 7, the second is at 9 o'clock. She's the first performer in the 2012-2013 Starlight Jazz Series at Walton Arts Center. She talked with Robert Ginsberg, who is the host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz, last week. This is Ozarks at Large.